It is a time of legend. The galaxy is in flames. The age of knowledge and enlightenment has ended. The age of darkness has begun.
Greetings and welcome to the Fires of Betrayal podcast, a podcast that is dedicated to discussing the various games set in the Age of Darkness, as well as all the lore that surrounds them. In today's podcast, I'm joined by returning guests, Lucas, AJ and Will. The topic of today's show is going to be a long discussion of the previews from Warhammer Fest. We're also going to look at the recent releases from Titanicus, and put it all together in what we think that means for the year's upcoming hobby. And with that, I'll cut straight to the show. So today I'm joined by Lucas, AJ, and Will. If you guys want to say hello.
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 And AJ's around as well. I think that's all good. So we're going to sit down and talk about big reveals today in Warhammer World. Then sort of talk about the militia list that dropped about 2 weeks ago, just before the last episode came out. But before we get there, I want to take a moment to talk about the fantastic event that's going on in like 26 days. The Ferrix event in Kansas City, which I'm going to be attending.
Yeah.
And I'd like as many other people to attend as possible. If you live in the Kansas City area or within reasonable driving distance, come and spend Memorial Day with us. Lucas, you recently revealed some new plans for the event.
Yes. I'll just go, we've gone over Ferrix on this podcast before, so I don't really think I need to talk much about that. So we did Adepticon, and we're continuing that narrative going forward for these next... We actually have two events scheduled coming up, so I will go over both of them. So we're continuing the narrative going forward. So at the end of the narrative, the Adepticon event, basically there was a Archaeotech device called... We call it the Weapon, which is a basically a kind of like a doorbell system for the Ferrix cluster. The Legion warfare there has triggered this weapon to go off. And effectively what it does is it destabilizes warp drives in the area. But some of the Legion ships are so massive that their warp drives are not affected, well, not as affected by this weapon. So effectively what we're trying to do from a practical perspective with this narrative is we're trying to kind of isolate the Ferrix cluster as well as remove named characters and Primarchs. And I know that's not quite always the most popular choice, but we really, really, really want to drive the narrative forward with players' armies and player characters and NPCs and, you know, third-party factions and all kinds of stuff. And we felt that the characters already in the game, they're kind of a limiting factor, we feel.
I mean, it's a pretty easy argument to make because all of the special characters, most of the special characters, let's say that way, have their own stories.
Right. They're somewhere else.
I can pick up piles of novels and know exactly what these Primarchs are doing through. Maybe there's a couple of months I can say, oh, maybe he's here. Maybe reports are wrong, but not the level of campaign you're trying to tell in Pyrex.
Right. This is going to be a multi-year campaign, like for the Legions. So that doesn't really make quite the biggest sense. So we wanted people to be able to play with them, and we might bring them back for maybe some set piece battles or something like that. But for right now, we're no characters, basically what we've done, you're not allowed to bring models with the unique type. What we've done to replace that is we've launched a system called the Ferrix Character Forge, which basically we felt like the standard like Praetor from the regular book didn't really encompass everything that a leader of the Legion could be, right? That he's not just a dude that has weapon skill 6 that holds a Paragon blade. We wanted him to be more than that. So what we wanted to do was kind of create these paths that the commanders took to rise to command. And those paths are going to leave their stamp on the Praetor. Although Praetor is just a generic rank. Your guy could be any number of ranks, right? Like a Dark Angels Paladin or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's an episode brewing in the back of my mind where we sit down and talk about Space Marine ranks and how they...
Yeah, that would be cool.
Because I've been writing a pretty good backstory for my guys for the Phyrex event. I spent probably far too long debating what ranks were Centurion and what ranks were Praetor level.
And sometimes you want your guy to be like... We'll just jump right into it. Sometimes you want your guy to be like a Forge Lord, right? You want him to be like master of the, you know, automata or whatever of the Legion. But he also leads Astartes troops into battle at the highest level, right? He's also like a serious war leader for his Legion. So that's kind of what we did. I won't go too deep into the system. We actually did a really deep dive on my podcast, the Taking of Phyrex podcast, over on YouTube. So if you want to know everything about the system, we've gone over every little thing over there. But basically, there are 9, what's called Risen to Command, you know, ladders that your praetor could have climbed up through. So I'll just give an example of a couple of them. One of them is the Epistolary. So he was a member of the Librarius. He's like a high-ranking member of the Librarius. One of them is a Disciple of Mars. So he's a high-ranking member of the tech, you know, the kind of the weird half Space Marine, half Martian thing that the Space Marine, you know, have going on. The guys that tend to the dreadnoughts and the guys that tend to the inducted automata and the guys that fix the tanks and all that. And there's also one called World Burner. So that is like came from the Destroyer, the ranks of the Destroyer Company. So we really like that one. I think that one's going to be really popular and really cool. This is version 1. Of our system, version 1.1, we've dubbed it. So we're going to continue to release new versions of this, and we're going to, the next step, we're going to create a couple more generics, and then we're going to be going and doing a Legion-specific one for every single Legion. So that's the next step. But we figured we needed to launch the system and kind of trial it at this event. And we'll be using the system at all of our events going forward unless it doesn't do well. Unless we have a lot of problems with it, we might get rid of it. But I don't really see that happening.
You know, I'm really excited about the whole thing, Lucas. I'll definitely be there in Kansas City in May. Hopefully some people listening will also be there.
May 26th, 27th, 28th. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Memorial Day weekend. It's in Independence, Missouri, which is a suburb of Kansas City. It's actually right by Bass Pro Shops. It's on Bass Pro Drive. It's at a hotel. I don't have the hotel name handy right here, but there is a room block. It's on the Facebook event, which we can link. Or Martin's actually been sharing it around. You've probably seen it. Yeah. So it's $80 for all 3 days. The Friday night is going to be ZM drop-in, drop-out. It's going to be like a pickup ZM. We're just kind of going real casual on that. We're not going to be running anything special. That's really just so when people show up, they get registered, they can talk, they can play if they want to, they don't have to. And then that's going to start at 4 p.m. So then on Saturday, we're going to do 2 rounds of 3,000-point frontline and then a Zil Mortalis mega battle at 1,500 points per player. And then on Sunday, we'll do another 2 rounds of 3,000-point frontline. Frontline is just regular games, for those not familiar with the terminology. And then we'll give awards, pack it up, go home. We've got some new sponsors that have signed up for us with this event. So we have, right now, we have quite a bit of prize support, especially relative to the amount of signups we have. So everybody should be getting stuff to take home with them. So that'll be pretty cool. So we've got quite a few spots left. We'll be selling tickets. The tickets will stop going for sale, like you won't be able to buy tickets that Monday. So that would be the last day to buy tickets would be the 21st of May.
So still plenty of time when this comes out. As I was saying on my Facebook post today, it's going to be a great way to kick off the summer. I'm hoping to make the one you're doing in Dallas in August. Sadly, it's 2 weekends after school comes back, so it could be a bad time for me.
Yeah, I can also just, we're going to do the for Dallas. We'll just talk about it really quick. It's really kind of in its infancy in the planning stages right now. I don't even have a name for it. But we're going to do exactly the same format. We're going to do the ZM on Friday, everything I just said, we're going to do it exactly the same. It'll be the narrative will be a little bit different. The systems will be just a little bit tweaked. But the event is going to be basically the same. That's August 11th through 13th in Dallas, yep. Texas. It's actually in downtown Dallas. So there's tons of hotels. There's a hotel block for the hotel that it's being hosted at. It's at Hyatt Regency, downtown Dallas. So what's really cool is that that's actually the hotel where they have Reunion Tower. So that's mm-hmm. like a, you know, a restaurant up in the ball at the Dallas skyline. It's pretty cool. And a really nice hotel. So we're pretty excited for that. Those tickets are actually also already live. They're on texasopen.org. We haven't quite been pushing that hard yet, but we've already got a couple signups for that. So that's going to be a cool little event as well. We have 30 spots for that, but if we sell out, we'll open up more probably.
That's still quite a ways away. So for some people traveling long distances, it's a good amount of time away. So you can plan to be on that one. I know Memorial Day is like round the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only like 3.5 weeks or 4 weeks away. For Dallas, it's very easy to fly into Dallas Love Field on Southwest and get there. It's really close. It's not that bad. Or even DFW. So if you guys are coming from abroad or, you know, from far away, it's very easy to get to Dallas.
Yeah, it's a good trip. And for those worrying about the South in the summer, I don't worry. August in Dallas is not the worst place in the world. I mean, it's not gonna be great, I'm not gonna lie.
Early August isn't gonna be too bad. Also, it is hot here, and it is kind of, the weather can be kind of garbage, but I promise you, every building here has the best AC. Like, we're going to be inside. It's not going to be that bad.
Okay. So all that said, going on right now as we record this over the other side of the world, in Warhammer World is the Warhammer World in Manchester is Warhammer Fest. It looks like it's an absolutely fantastic event. I've been sighing heavily each time Manji posts up some little pictures. Hopefully he'll be back on and talk about the Heresy event there, because he's been playing in that. Anyway, we had the Heresy reveals this morning, and they were a mixed bag, I think is the best way to describe them. I was happy with some, unhappy with...
I wasn't excited about stuff, but I was generally happy with everything. Most of my letdown was the fact that there were some things that I would have liked to have seen before the stuff that they announced, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I got more than I expected, because all I was expecting on this was just going more in depth into the campaign book and giving us details on the two character models from the campaign book. And we obviously got more than that.
Yeah. I think we'll start with the knight, the one that surprised me the most and least excited me, I suppose. So we've got the new Knight Lancer, Knight Cerastus, Knight class. It looks really good. It looks like a Titanicus model that's now bigger, or the resin one that's now plastic. It looks pretty.
For me, it fits in the same category as many other models, is like very cool, not buying it. Like you said, it's cool. I like it. It looks good. It looks great in this House Divine color scheme that they have it painted up in. I will say that a lot of the resin ones I've seen, this like the lance itself is kind of hard to get straight. Mm-hmm. So the plastic one is obviously going to be much better in that regard. So that's cool. But this is obviously only the first of many. They're not going to release one Cerastus.
No, they're all going to come spilling out.
We can only hope that a second, like that they come, maybe they come out with a new one. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. An alternate variant would be real nice. And you know they're going to fly off the shelves, because every 40k player is going to want one.
Yeah.
Probably one of the best selling kits of the year.
Yeah, probably. Very good centerpiece model. Very good for like painting competitions, you know. Even better than the plastic knights that already exist, I think.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Are we taking bets on if they're going to do an Atropos or no?
Ooh.
Because you got to have all those different armor panels.
I think it's probably going to stay in resin.
I'm sure that once we see the sprues, mm-hmm. we'll be able to figure out what their plan is.
It wouldn't surprise me that it's the division we get in Titanicus. It's the ones that are plastic in Titanicus that are going to be plastic in Heresy, and the resin ones in saying resin.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm glad it's not a Profiron.
Oh, yes.
So glad. Although that would be cool to have in plastic.
I don't think we're ever going to get it the Porphyron in plastic. They would do a Warhound in plastic first. Honestly, they would do like a Fellblade in plastic, or they did either of those, and I don't see that happening. Oh,
no. They'll do a Thunderhawk.
They already have a plastic Thunderhawk. They made a whole big deal about it.
Well, they already have a plastic Cerastus and a plastic Porphyron and a plastic this and that, if you're going with that.
Would actually, like, if we got one of those Titanic size kits, they'd start with something like the Thunder. There's so much demand there.
Yeah.
And they'd sell, because everyone kind of...
I would buy one, for sure. I'd probably buy one for every army I have. I would buy it. Like, I'd buy it. It would sell gangbusters. I'd buy it for sure.
Yeah. And it's going to be a matter of time, because as soon as they can get the technology to do it, they'll do it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So that's the knight. I think the next one we will talk about the character. Viridun Ashdorn and Lord Castellan Evandagarius.
Ashuradon? Ashurabaddon?
Yeah, I don't know who came up with this name.
Adon. Ashuradon? Yeah. I mean, you can clearly see there is Chthonian word vocabulary choices.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, the characters were name-checked back in the reveals at Adepticon, so it's nice to see them actually on as actual things.
No, they were using one of these random name generators. I'm looking at, because I'm building another Space Wolf list, so I'm looking names of additional characters that aren't already being from one of my other lists. And I'm getting things like Grimwyrm the Execution, Tyr the Fjordjoltor.
It still feels like somebody was pounding on the keyboard to get his names, though.
Godnard the Svart. Yeah, I mean, they're just using the same name generator I am.
Those are all awesome names.
Yeah, they are. But you're right, Will. They're definitely using some name generator, because I've gone through the same process recently naming my word bearers, and it's just...
What are our thoughts on the model?
The models are okay. Like, if you'd asked me to brain dump what I thought I would see last night before I went to bed, I'd probably come pretty close.
Yeah. I like them. I think they look cool. I really like the Sons of Horus helmet. I like his helmet a lot.
I'm a little confused on the helmet with why there's a spike coming through his top knot. That aside, it is probably one of the best helmets they've done recently.
No, I think he's a spiky boy. He just looks like some sort of Chaos Space Marine, which is fine because it's a late hit Heresy era.
As somebody that's new to like Heresy gameplay, like I think the model for him is great. It's I find myself attracted to that one better than...
Honestly, Lavander, I really, really love because it feels like an Imperial Fist Heresy model. As far as like aesthetics go between the two, I think I like the Sons of Horus better as an overall model. But as what they were going for Lavander, I think he is absolutely gorgeous.
I feel like Lavander was put together by someone who knew the lore really well and created a model that reflects the lore. And because of that, it's almost like they were lore before art. Like, more I look at it, more I see little details. I'm like, oh, that's really neat. They put that there.
Yeah.
And I think that means that the first impression of him isn't as good. Like, I was looking at the chest plate, and it's the Imperial Lightning Bolt. He's an old Space Marine. But then it's like a broken fortress, which is a speciality. That's cool. He's got a little shield to say he's part of the Templar Brethren without it being a huge thing, which is nice. You know, you don't want to advertise that too much.
This is cool. I love the Volkite. Like the double Volkite weapons underslung. It's cool. That's going to be a bit we're going to be stealing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's clearly a weapon that you can sort of like cast aside and still actually have hands, which is nice. The helmet is really well positioned in the recesses of the Terminator armor. Usually it's in a bad position.
I like them both. I rate them both high. Like, I think they're both 8 out of 10.
Though my favorite little detail on the Terminator one is the wound on the Space Marine that he's standing on.
Because it's a Volkite wound.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I see it now.
I will say the one thing that just stands out to me and that I really like as a detail on all of the models is the axe for the Sons of Horus character feels like an axe for a Sons of Horus character. It feels like an Eye of Horus iconography without being as blatant about it. And it really looks vicious and cool.
I agree. I love that. So I got a question, though, about this wound that this man has sustained. It instantly just, like, melted his skin away?
Yeah, he's probably running around without... I was going to say, he probably was running around without a helmet, like a lot of Space Marines apparently do. So it makes perfect sense that, you know, the flesh would have burnt off. I think the skull should have had more of a burned look to it, if that's what they're going through.
That's a painting decision, yeah, not a modeling decision.
But the sculpting decision of making it, you know, an actual Volkite wound where it's heat-based and it melted the skin and flesh off makes perfect sense.
Well, maybe he shot this guy after he was already dead for many years.
That's the accuracy of an Imperial Fist with a Volkite weapon. They don't use...
Fair. Well, he's also, like, half-buried, too. I don't know. I do like it, but when you kind of try to, like, rationalize it, it doesn't really work. But
it gets worse the more you think about it, yeah.
Yeah, but I do like the kind of I like that they tried. And you can always put him stepping on something else.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, my big gripe I've seen on the internet about these two characters is that they're these two characters and they aren't something else. But I think we were getting them. And I think for what they are, they're great. And if we get other Legion stuff as we get other books, I think we all can be really happy.
Yeah, it is kind of like a win more, I feel. The people that are, you know, the rich get richer. But what they are is good. You know, at least they're good. If they were, like, bad and that, then we got a bigger problem. But if they're good and that, we can at least, like, you know, be like, well, you can convert them or whatever.
Okay. So, I think that brings us to the second to last. Well, the last true heresy reveal, which is the plastic assault marines. We didn't see any real assault marines. We saw some grayscale CAD images of. Yeah. I don't know. We saw a lot of people hoping to see them. We kind of saw them. They look okay.
I literally have no issue with them in general because they're assault marines. There's nothing really super over the top that they needed to do with them. I like the choice that they've gone with the jump pack. The only thing I really don't like about them is, did you see where they fall on that little chart they gave us?
Yeah, I was going to come back to that in a bit.
That right there is actually my biggest issue, is we shouldn't be waiting almost a year to see these. These should have been coming out much sooner.
Well, I mean, it's the same issue. Well, I mean, it's why we don't have models, while we have a grayscale CAD image, because they aren't ready yet.
Well, obviously they're not, because they're putting other things ahead of them, and that's just my general point, that I have no issue with what they're doing with them, and I understand why we had the CAD model rather than, you know, actual models to look at. But my point being is they should be earlier on the schedule. We have these armor mark updates listed, and obviously we have pictures of them because we went, hey, we're going to give you a little teaser, and showed us some artwork from where they've taken pictures using the models. The assault marine should have been coming before we're getting a mark update model.
Yeah, I don't know.
I agree with you for that. I agree that I think that assault marines, or a, you know, ultimately, what I'd really like to see, like everyone else, is a triple kit for assault marines, despoilers, and destroyers. Actually, it'd be a quadruple kit. But I also really like to see that we're getting other armor marks, and they haven't just left them all in the dust, and that we're only ever going to get Mark VI stuff from here on out. A lot of people don't like Mark VI, and in my opinion, they're not the best fit for all the legions. Despite what they've kind of retconned the fluff to say, I don't think they fit all the legions as well as some of the other armor marks. Now, the same could be said about any of the armor marks, right? I'm not saying that the Mark III fit everyone.
I'm going to be really careful with what I say. I think, narratively, the armor works for everyone.
Right.
But artistically, there is something about the image of certain marks of armor.
Absolutely.
I finished putting together a box of Mark III, some Tap Marines that I'm going to use in breaching scenarios. And it took a lot of effort last night to paint them red. They were sprayed silver, and I was like, yeah, these could be Iron Warriors. They'd look really good, because they just look like how I want my Iron Warriors to look. But, yeah.
I'm with you. That's all I really have to say with it. That isn't just echoing what other people think about it. I will say about the model, about the render, I know it's kind of early, so we can't really judge them based on this render, but two things. I don't like the straps.
No, I'm...
They don't look good. I'm sorry. Like, just the way that they just met, like, they just kind of, like, melt into the chest piece. I hope that that's something that they refine. I'm sure it will be, but I hope it is. And then, if you look at, like, the shins right above the feet, they're not straight like the Mark VI. Like, they, like, curve at the bottom. And maybe that's just kind of a 3D artifact, but...
So if you look at the chest plate on the one with the combat shield, I presume it's a combat shield, You see that it looks like almost there is a second chest plate in front of the chest plate. Like, it's a front harness.
Yes. And that goes back a long time, right? The original, like, Mark VII Assault Marines had, like, a strap that kind of came in the center and then had, like, a button that they could, like, jettison.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see that more than this. But if that's the biggest gripe, then I think we're doing okay. Hope that they do, in my opinion, the Mark VI Tactical Marines have excellent poses. I wish they had a little bit more variety, but the poses that they have, I think, are very good. So as long as these guys have poses that are that good, I think we'll be doing okay.
And so far, I mean, that's what they're being suggested of here. I agree that it's weird that the armor seems to bend on the guy that's running, but they are aggressive without being overly dynamic. That's one of the issues that I have with a lot of the character models is they're striving for so much action in and so much dynamic expression, which is really hard on a static model, that they come off looking kind of goofy. I think my biggest complaint on that is like Korax. I understand what they were doing with Korax, but he is so dynamic that as a static model, he kind of looks goofy.
Yeah, I'm really happy to see, it takes in a slightly different direction, but I'm really happy to see the fact that we aren't at super dynamic. Like these guys are not balanced on tactical rocks. Like all other jump infantry recently have like piles of stuff on their base to make them look like they're flying. These guys look like they're just on the ground.
Well, that could change. But I agree. I agree. I actually really do not like models that have basing material built into their feet because it never matches my base. Like I want to match the bases I have for every other guy.
Okay. Probably should talk about that roadmap.
Yeah. I have one thing to say about roadmaps really quick.
Oh, yeah.
So just recently, Games Workshop has blown their own Heresy roadmap completely out. They haven't made the deadlines that they promised in the last Heresy roadmap.
No, they didn't.
So do we really think that this is anything but like them? I'm not trying to be too negative, but like, I wouldn't hold them to it.
So my response on that front is it's pretty simple. The other Games Workshop have been having these seasonal roadmaps for a while. The Heresy roadmap they put out last year was like a month-on-month roadmap, and that fell apart. But we're doing this season, the next season, for all the other games have held up really well. So I'm willing to give them a bit more leniency if they're saying this is going to occur at some point in the time that someone may consider this the autumn.
I will say, and ultimately, they did release everything they said they were going to release on the roadmap as far as plastic kits go, but they promised print that they did not release.
Yeah, and one thing that of real note on this roadmap is there is no reference to book releases.
Or demons.
Well, yeah.
Which they've already said are coming, you know, quote unquote, soon.
Soon. So I think we have to sort of take into account that we are missing, this roadmap is an incomplete mess. This is
right.
This is the bare minimum of what we're going
to
get.
And to be fair, you know, giving them credit, the book we know is coming probably in the next, 30 days is not on there either.
Well, yes. I mean, yeah, and if we take its models only, it makes some very interesting questions. So let's work through this. So coming in spring, we have the Vindicator Siege Tank we've seen already, and we have the Resin character. We've seen all that material. So that's all going to be coming out pretty soon. So then we move to summer. We got the Night Lancer, which is a great model, good images we saw earlier. And then the resin, new characters and upgrades.
Way to commit, GW.
Well, I'm presuming the upgrades are going to be the heads, because they haven't put the heads out yet.
What heads?
From the Heresy Thursday, the Heresy Thursday heads, all the different bear head options.
I think that's available on Forge World.
Yeah, those came out. Those are a Forge World model.
Okay, did the spoiler kit come out? Did the spoiler upgrade kit?
No, so, I don't think so.
That was my gut that they're going to come out. But there's still new characters. I don't think we've got any new characters. Unless it's the Librarian, because he's not out yet.
Well, he is neither a... Oh, he is a character, I guess.
Yeah.
I think the heads are out. I'm not mad at that. You know, it is what it is. I think my only concern, I think, is that... So, here in the United States, I can't speak for how they, how they do it over there. If you divide the calendar up into four seasons, each season is 3 months long. Now, they don't know about Texas summer, but that's okay. I'll forgive them for that one. So you're telling me in 3 months we're going to see a single plastic kit?
Well, I'm presuming we've got the Vindicator Siege Tank coming out soon. We've just had some plastic kits. Like, Night Lancer will drop in the little... Because the problem is that summer isn't summer. It is... You can just spiral it over and say all our logistics are being used for 40k because they're releasing the new 40k. So I'm okay. I was always expecting it to be like a model.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of light. I agree. That's a good point.
So if the summer's 40k and then we come into autumn and they're saying, hey, in autumn, we've got more Lords of War coming. Who knows what that's going to be? Well, actually, I do. It's going to be more Night Lancers.
Yeah.
We got the Darrowdale Dreadnought. That's the only Dreadnought we haven't got.
And it's also pictured in the preview, right above it.
Yeah. And then the armor mark update, which I'm presuming is these going to be these Mark II conversion kits, maybe. Maybe the Mark IIIs.
I was going to say, they look Mark III to me because of the way the Mark II has like the banded thigh or the banded shins and then the exposed cabling on the thighs.
Yeah.
But it could be that this is the new Canon Mark II. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's outside the realm of possibility. Either way, I think that's going to look really good.
They look Mark III, with the only real significant differences that I'm seeing in the Mark III versus what we have now is the knee pads are more of like a knee pad than just a rounded bulge like they are now. And it looks like there's some sort of iconography on the chest that we can see, like between the chest plate and the waist plate, we can see that skull. It looks like there's some chest iconography on the other two that are in the foreground. But otherwise, yeah, that's just the only other thing that seems a little off, and I'd have to go and get one of my Mark III shoulder pads. Actually, I think I've got a set right here.
The thicker banding stops at that point. Either way, we've got some new armor coming in the autumn. Presumably, hopefully, that means like more than just another tactical kit.
What about them starting to do like a start collecting box for a different league? Oh, it's a different buy-in point for us, but trying to get into it rather than trying to go buy the whole Age of Darkness box. That's the thought that I had looking at that.
A start collecting kit, and yeah.
Because they don't have a start collecting box other than the Age of Darkness right now, and it was a limited run anyways. And so if somebody's looking to get into it like down the road, they might do like a small Legion force, like a scouting force. Start collecting box, in essence.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, that sort of image on the front would be a box cover art.
Yep, and that's, when looking at the roadmap, that's the idea that I had from it when it starts talking about more arcs and more dreadnoughts and like all releasing at the same time. It might just be in one box.
Be mad at that. What I was going to say is the guys on the right have the Volkite Caliver, which is currently only available for the Mark VI. So if these guys are designed to be able to use those upgrade sets that we got for the Mark VI, that will make me extremely happy. Like, that is a game changer. If they could just release a tactical squad box, and then you can already buy every single special weapon and every single heavy weapon.
And that's not an unreasonable thing to consider, given what they did with the resin super heavies, that we went back and redesigned them just so you can use these plastic sponsons that we're going to put out as sponsons for all of the other plastics.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing about that is that some of the heavy weapons have arms included.
Yeah.
So that is a little bit like the Laz cannon, mostly. The ones that are mounted up on the shoulder, I think, is the ones I'm talking about. But it's that wouldn't bother me too much if you couldn't use one of the, what is that, 9 different weapons, 10 different weapons. I think we could survive.
Hey, you're talking to somebody that mixes and matches all of the kits to make his own kit-bashed Mark V anyway, so it's not like I'd pay any attention.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what we get, and I like AJ's thought about it being sort of starter box. Wouldn't surprise me, because that would be a good drop just before Black Friday.
Yep.
So, that leads to the resin autumn release of a Primarch. Anyone have any good thoughts about what that's going to be? I know...
So, what I'd like it to be is Khan on a bike, because he's the only Primarch we don't have. What I'm expecting it to be is another Primarch Ascended, probably going to be Fulgrim, maybe. I mean, because he's actually the first Demon Primarch, so... I mean, it would make sense if you're going to do this Ascended thing, you start with him.
My thought initially was it was going to be Logar, because Logar has Ascended rules in the book.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
That is true. I did not think of that.
Khan on jet bike, he also has rules for being on jet bike.
The word around the traps is they asked at the Q&A and they said it was not Khan on jet bike. I've seen that in a couple chats.
Yeah, then it would make sense to do Logar Ascended. Then that would be the most logical. Of course, and again, you know, we're saying logic, and you know, then talking about Games Workshop.
Yeah, and we also Logar Ascended is like, you know, Logar was basically Ascended at the start of the Heresy anyway.
Yeah,
like that's the amount of change in the model is fairly minimal because he was already So
yeah, they took away Korax's thing, right? I'm looking at it right now. I tell you they did. So I was thinking maybe it was going to be that, like a post-Isvan Korax, but that doesn't seem to be the case because his rules are gone. I think the best, safest bet is going to be a Lorgar Transfigured.
I mean, it also depends what Autumn book is going to be, because it feels like if you're going to drop the amount of plastic they're dropping and a Primarch, you're going to get a book. And if we've got a second campaign book coming at that point, that opens the door for other... I mean, it does open the door for people like Fulgrim or... others.
See, my thought on Fulgrim is that they're going to save Fulgrim for plastic for 40k.
Probably.
Yeah. That's my kind of just like, oh yeah, they're not going to do that. Like they did Angron, right? Yeah. If they hadn't have brought out a plastic Angron, that would have been my guess.
Yeah. And that's, I'm going to be really interested to see how the 30k studio handles the Ascended Primarchs, whether we start getting rules for the plastic Demon Primarch.
So here's what I expect. I expect that we will eventually get rules for the plastic Demon Primarchs, but we are going to get it when they are ready to turn Horus Heresy into the Siege of Terra. Like Horus Heresy as a game system takes the step forward to become the Siege of Terra games.
My rebuttal there, though, Will, is that Molech is like halfway through the Heresy and Demon Primarchs are running around on it.
I understand that, and I don't disagree with that. In fact, Molech is the entire reason that we have Horus Ascended, but I think as a game design, they are going to come out with a subset campaign that's going to be the Siege of Terra, centered around the Siege of Terra books, and like they did with the Horus Heresy books versus the Siege of Terra books, where they did this clean break so that you could, even if you'd never read any of the Horus Heresy books, you could get into the Siege of Terra without necessarily missing much, that all of the stuff that references earlier things, Horus Heresy fans are going to get, and it's going to be really, really good. But if you hadn't read Horus Heresy, you would still kind of understand anyway. I think they're going to do a campaign series similar to that, where you can just jump in on the Siege of Terra campaign, and you know, you'll still need the base core book. But, you know, all of the other campaign books aren't going to matter when you get to the Siege of Terra campaign books. And the Siege of Terra campaign books are where we're going to see using the Demon Primarchs.
I don't know. My problem with the Siege of Terra is there's only 3 Loyalist Legions present.
In any numbers, yeah.
In any number.
4. That would be 4. I don't want to spoil the books, but there's 4.
No, any number.
10,000 is a number.
But they don't have the Primarch.
I don't care.
Hey, we already know that Thousand Sons were on Terra at the time. There was one Thousand Sons guy on Terra that I'm aware of.
One is a number.
One is a number, but they suggested in the preview that with Chthonia, that there's actually a significant force of a detachment of Thousand Sons sent to Chthonia from Terra. And while I know that we had an entire expeditionary fleet that was sent away from Prospero before the Wolves, to the best of my knowledge, that fleet didn't go to Terra. So where is this significant force of Thousand Sons, Loyalist Thousand Sons that were on Terra? I don't know what book they were referencing.
Well, that's in the Chthonia book, but it has been sort of slightly noted that all Loyalist Thousand Sons have been by the Heresy of Hanging Heaven of Saturn preparing something else.
Well, yeah, that's suggested. But then again, the other suggestion is those Thousand Sons instead became the Blood Ravens. But, you know, suggestions on suggestions on suggestions.
The coolest part is they've suggested all of it, but that doesn't mean that anything is, you know, set in stone. Like, that's the coolest part of Horus Heresy, or one of the coolest parts of the narrative, in my opinion, is that it's set up so that you can play all these, like, established things, or you have, like, a little bit of wiggle room. And I think that's cool. I love that part.
Yeah. It's one of the glories of Games Workshop's IP, is that there's no single story. I enjoy the Battletech universe, but you can't have a spirited discussion about the potential problems of the lore because the lore is ironed out and nailed down.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that brings us to the winter part of the roadmap. We'll start with the Assault Squad. We talked about this briefly. Will mentioned they are awfully late to appear.
Yep.
I agree. I have a ponderant. I threw the link up about Games Workshop's trialing some recycling for plastic in the UK. There's some talk about, from a few people I know, been mentioned in a few other podcasts, that this is all part of a system that Games Workshop's trying to get a discount on the plastic they're buying because plastic prices are going up.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Games Workshop's market cap is £3.27 billion. I'm not saying that plastic prices don't affect their bottom line. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not saying it's prices. I'm saying it's availability.
Okay, I can maybe see that the availability is a problem.
The actual total limits they've got, and by doing the recycling scheme, they're getting in with some of the recyclers to get in basing material for the less important plastic products, like bases you can build from recycled plastic.
Okay, I could see that. I don't hate that.
Supply chain issues are an issue globally anyway, for just about every thing out there. So it wouldn't entirely surprise me.
And you sort of double it so because of UK where it's at. I'm just like, I can sort of see why they're like, okay, if we say the winter, that gives them, you know, 6 months after the big push of plastics for 40K to be like, okay, now we can give some plastics back to Heresy, but...
But the winter, it says mysterious army release. I've seen people speculating that it'll be Sisters, since they have a whole bunch of stuff and not a whole lot of models.
Yeah. This far out, there's going to be a lot of people who are wrong. I'm going to join them being wrong by suggesting it's going to be the Imperial Army.
Yeah, I think that's the other option.
Because the actual books reference Imperial Army, all the books that came out after have been like, hey, look, these are a subset of the Imperial Army. And if it's actually a miniature release, then this would be somewhere for them to actually put out brand new stuff in plastic.
I don't know that it would be Imperial Army. Maybe Solar Attila in plastic, because that would be really cool.
But it wouldn't be a Mysterio Army, because if it's an army release, we've already got the Solar Attila.
Well, I mean, they're saying that it's a Mystery Army release. That doesn't necessarily mean the mystery is that it's an entirely resin army coming to plastics.
I think we're much more likely to see Plastic Mechanicum than Plastic Solar Auxilia.
Yeah.
Like, if they're going to convert one of those to plastic, it's going to be Mechanicum, just because of how few things you have to convert.
Here's the other reason that Plastic Mechanicum might be a real thing, is with the edition change, it gives them the opportunity to rewrite the 40K Mechanicum stuff, which means that they could bring out Mechanicum in 30K, and have that out and established in time to bring out a book for 40K and say, oh, and by the way, you can now use all of these 30K models in 40K, which is something that they should have done a long time ago. They were going to do, then they changed entire editions, which threw out all of the work that they'd done on doing that. I also don't know why, when they had this opportunity to rewrite the Mechanicum book, they didn't bring the 40K stuff in either. But that's neither here nor there.
Or just literal Skitarii.
Yeah, there is, once again, on the edge of crazy games with conspiracy theories, there is some conversations that I had that said there are disagreements between the design studios, and that 30K don't want to be seen pushing products that don't have a 30K product code attached.
Then they wouldn't have put out a Militiapedia.
Which is the reason, that was usually mentioned, the reason why we hadn't seen one for last year.
I get what you're saying, where they don't want to like push sales for 40K coded products.
Because then it looks like 30K isn't selling, it's 40K that's selling.
Yeah. Whether the release of the PDF shows a change in administration, or a change that someone's finally had an argument settled about how they're going to handle it, because it's inevitably going to be a manager arguing the two managers.
And really, that makes no sense whatsoever, because you could put that SKU into both columns, so anytime it sells, it ticks for both, if it's specifically meant to be a dual kit. Because if that were the issue, how do you explain Demons, which are across every single product line that they run, and obviously they're not coded? If they're tracking them for coding, they're not going to track them across everything if they're not going to do for 30K and 40K now.
But we still don't have rules for Demons and Heresy them.
We don't, but we do have rules for Demons and AOS and 40K and Warband and Kill Team.
But those are the same studio. Whereas he's talking about effectively Specialist Games versus main studio. Whereas you're talking about main studios. Both of those are main studio products. And I do agree. We've heard a lot of rumors for a long time about kind of rumblings between Specialist and main studio. In fact, literally what you just said just a minute ago, Will, about Fires of Syraxis, it was from what we had heard from, you know, kind of, we heard from a guy who heard from a guy who heard from a guy who heard from Andy Hoare, that pissed him off pretty bad. That they literally had the book like ready to go, and they were like, they found out about the edition change when we did, basically. That's all rumor, obviously, but
Well, yeah, and again, that's just where Games Workshop and Forge World try to present a unified front, but they are constantly showing that they don't care about each other. They don't talk to each other. They're actively competing against one another.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just a weird... And so that's sort of where, when I go look at the mystery release, I'm just like, you know, depending how frustrated or how big that gap's going to be will tell us where we go. We could get something like Mechanicum if we're seeing a unification between the studios, or we could see, you know, Imperial Army if we were like, no, we're going to put out our own guard range.
Or you could see something that's not specifically not usable in 40K, like Sisters of Silence. I'm not trying to say you absolutely can't use them, but I just mean, like, you know, we're not considering them at all. Either Sisters of Silence or it wouldn't, a Dark Mechanicum wouldn't surprise me either. It'd be weird, but
what I don't see on this roadmap is any reference in Stormlight. I feel like it's going to be a PDF.
Yeah, exactly. We pretty much have decided, I think you're right, that publications are not on this.
So, and then we get new characters and upgrades in resin.
Very specific.
Yeah. Then leading to spring, so one entire year.
More than a year, because we haven't seen what they've promised in spring here yet.
We're halfway through spring, as far as spring is concerned, as far as... I could see it being a year out, but we got the Legion Command Squads and melee weapons. Melee weapons is really interesting.
Yeah, I wish that was this spring.
Yes.
And a Knight Lancer was pushed all the way to next spring.
No, I'm with you there.
Or even further away than that, because I could take it or leave it.
Honestly, I'm surprised melee weapons, given what happened with recently with our despoilers, is I'm surprised melee weapons is in the plastic column.
Well, this is where I get really conspiratorial again. Here's a day for that. So if the spoiler kit isn't dropped in one of these upgrade kits, they're saying upgrades, are we ever going to see them? Are they just going to quietly pretend they never previewed them and just put out plastic in a year?
I hope, kind of hope that.
that's part of my reading from this. It's like, oh yeah, don't worry about those spoiler weapons. We never release. Here, have some plastic.
Well, if they're not coming in the spring, when are they coming? Because they don't list them here in spring under resin, right?
Yeah.
So are they going to wait until the summer to bring them out? And then everyone knows you're bringing out plastic ones?
Yeah, which makes me think that, you
makes
know...
it even worse.
Well, or the absolute trashing the spoiler kit got meant that Games Workshop were like, well, we aren't making them. How quickly can we make some plastic melee weapons? And so some guy in the design department says, 14 months? And they go, okay then, that's what we'll do.
14 months is a long time, but I see why you say that.
That's pretty quick for Games Workshop product creation. And it's about the power we've seen, say, with this, we saw a lot of their development. Like, if they, to go from basic design to production, 14 months sounds quick.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Okay. So, I'm excited for the Legion Command Squad. That sounds cool.
The Command Squad 40K box is, like, a go-to for all Heresy players, having our own version that we don't have to cross product codes on. I think it would be fun.
Oh, yeah, that we don't have to sell 40K product, cross the product code. That's funny. That's one of the best theories I've heard.
I'm really kind of excited. I think there'll be a lot of bits in there, so it gives lots of conversion capability for future work. The new characters makes me interesting in the resin line. I think we're going to see more of the consoles being brought out. I think that's what we're seeing there.
I hope.
Maybe more of the Legion-specific characters, because I think we still have a couple of Legions that don't have their Praetors yet.
They'll probably bring out, I don't know, Dark Angels and Thousand Sons characters, two of the guys that have the most stuff already. They'll probably bring those out if they keep going on the path they've been on.
Yeah, I mean, so who is the Dark Angel? Can anyone remember which world the Dark Angels attacked first when they started destroying Homeworld?
I think it's Barbarous.
Yeah. So Dark Angels be Death Guard, maybe.
I think it might be Colchis. It's one of the, like, it. I mean, it's obviously one of the Traitor Horns, but...
Yeah, but I think Barbarous is the one I think they... So yeah, Dark Angels v. Death Guard, next book. Release their special characters, a good way to wind everyone up.
I wish they would do, like... Iron Warriors versus Salamanders and give them something, both of them something.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know what I mean? Like, Dark Angels already have, I'm a Dark Angels player and I say this, Dark Angels already have probably the biggest load of stuff that any Legion has because of the plastics are so good. Like, there's just so much already out. They're like, why give them more stuff? They already have two resin characters, their Praetors, their Contemptor, their Leviathan. three units, you know. You want to move on?
Yeah, let's take a break from the far future and talk about my childhood, the Old World. I know we aren't a Warhammer Old World podcast. We mostly talk about Horus Heresy, but I want to take a moment to mention it because it looks absolutely awesome. The models are exactly what I want to see. Now, I am a fan of Age of Sigmar. I enjoyed Age of Sigmar when it dropped. We were like, yes, I enjoy this preferred system than the fantasy game we were playing a couple of months beforehand. I thought that game was not the game I enjoyed playing when I was a teenager. They lost it somewhere. I'm hoping that they've learned their lesson. We can go back to playing something worthy of my memories.
I'm just looking at the art. So good. So good. Like those old army book covers. Oh my gosh. That's like so good. I already am stockpiling vampire counts for this project. So
yeah, I've got a fair few square-based vampire counts from my...
See, I never actually got to play Warhammer Fantasy Battles, so, like, I'm excited.
I played Warhammer a lot. We peaked around the point. So there was the first big global campaign in Albion. I've got the actual real book of that lying around somewhere. And then they did the Attack of Chaos, where not Archeon, but the other guy tried to take the Empire, and Manfred joined the side of the Imperials, this weird undead Empire army. And I built that. And it was really good fun. But the edition changes just... I don't know. It was...
Yep. It have ultimately got to the problem, like, where I think that 40K is getting to, where, like, stuff, you know, they were changing editions faster than they were launching all the army books. Like, you know, where they would literally not even finish the edition before they would come out with a new one. And the editions for Fantasy Battle were big difference. Like, they really changed the game when they came out.
They were changing a lot of stuff, and it was just becoming... Like, I remember having a block of 200 zombies and thinking, this isn't enough.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like half of my units were filler, and I don't know, it was intimidating to get into. Age of Sigmar dropped, and I was so disillusioned that I was like, yeah. And I had a good group of guys who all went in and were like, oh, we don't care, there are no points. We can play games because we're gentlemen. And we had reasonable good time. And it got really good when the General's Handbook dropped.
Right. Age of Sigmar, in my opinion, I'm not a player, but Age of Sigmar has only gotten better. I don't know about now, but like for a long, like at least that first little bit, it was getting really good. And I don't hate Age of Sigmar by any means. I wasn't like invested enough in the Old World to be like upset when they blew it all up, you know? I think that's where a lot of people's Age of Sigmar hate comes from.
Yeah, I get it.
What do we think about these models?
Oh, the Bretonian is freaking fantastic.
I don't like the orc head, personally, but the model is really great. I love the model, and I think you could probably get rid of him pretty easy.
Now, my only gripe with the Bretonian is the stuff coming off his backpack kind of looks like a second arm.
Oh, that isn't his arm. You're right.
Yeah, no, his arm is hanging down.
He's doing this sort of, like, He-Man pose with both arms in the air, but he's not. So yeah, I'd want to fix that backpack as well.
Oh, that's his sword scabbard with...
Yeah, that's the scabbard. And then it's got like so much stuff all over it, which is kind of typical Bretonian. The one thing that I don't know what's going on is that lantern that's like oozing ectoplasm.
That's candles, bro.
Candles, yeah. They're just out.
Why is it like six candles all stuffed in there instead of like one candle?
Okay, I couldn't answer that.
What I was saying, just to swing it around to Heresy for a second. I'm looking at this model and what I'm thinking is if I take the backpack off, and put us like a hotshot backpack, put a pistol in his hand. He'd make a really good militia commander.
He'd also make a really good inquisitor too. So
I love the Tomb King.
Yes,
and it captures the old the fantasy battle vibe so well. In my opinion, again, I never played it, but like just the, you know, the modern like design where they have all the like sculpted on effects and stuff like that for Age of Sigmar, and like the ghosts for Age of Sigmar, the Nighthaunt guys, they do not fit that historically like fantasy setting. And I'm not mad at them. I like them. They're good models. There's nothing wrong with them, but they don't fit as well, I don't think. But this guy screams Old World, I think.
I was gonna say, speaking of that, we didn't put them up here in the chat to talk about them because they're technically an AOS release. But the Cities of Sigmar stuff, which are basically the Empire in fantasy, those models have that same sort of good fantasy vibe to them. that you're talking about, and they're gorgeous.
Oh yeah, these cities of Sigmar Cavalry are really good. I'm excited. I'm so pumped.
And I'll probably end up picking up the box, if there is a box, or at least a book. I'll be playing some. I have a lot of Chaos Warriors downstairs.
Again, I'll say what I heard from the Q&A is that there is no starter box planned.
Yeah.
That's what they said at the Q&A, but obviously we're still, like, quite a bit away.
Yeah, I was really shocked we didn't have a release date.
Like, even, like, a... Well, they actually, if you look at the what the article says about those dudes, the Tomb King and the Bretonnian, it says they're coming out before the game's launch. I don't understand that, but whatever. I'm not in a hurry because I gotta do a bunch of 40 or 30k projects before I can really start the old world.
Okay.
And as much as I love the old world and I love the lore of the old world, I have to say I'm going to have to really consider if I'm going to get into an army, because right now I already play a little bit too much stuff that I don't get to. Like, we're doing the Adeptus Titanicus event next weekend from the date of the recording. It'll be the first time I've played AT in well over a year. So, and I'll...
Yeah, I think that leads us to the last thing we need to talk about.
Another system.
Maybe. Well, okay. So here we go. They finished with this wonderful little image, report to the Strategiarium, enemies all detected, little video played of a big battle.
And people are like, oh, well, it might not actually be epic. But the announcement for the Warhammer community was, it's a battle on a whole new scale. And you know how they love their pun.
Yeah, I think they're going to do it.
When I watched the preview, so this is... I'll take you on my journey. When I watched the preview this morning, I was like, oh, everyone's going to think this is epic, but it's really going to be an apocalypse supplement so we can do mega battles, because, you know, the community loves mega battles. Because I'm still in the back of my head, like, they aren't going to do epic, because, like, it's a lot to come out with. It's another huge product, and I just don't see them doing it at the same time they're doing Old World. And then that line about Warren of the Scale, I'm like, oh, there's 2 points. And then obviously there's the whole kerfuffle about the base on the Warhound Titan months ago, where... The Warhound Titan that appeared on the first preview for the conversion beamer weapon looked different than it should. It wasn't a Titanicus base. So, you know, now I've got sort of 3 points, and I'm pretty comfortable at 3 points of saying there's a line, yes, we've got epic.
Whoa. I didn't see that.
What? Well, it's no longer up there. So for a very brief period of time, the Warhound Titan that went preview had a different image.
Oh, I see. They've now, like, whited out the bases, basically.
Yeah.
So, do we want to talk about the weapon, the conversion beamer? Are we done talking about epic? Because, like,
I think that's all we can really talk about. To be honest, there's not a huge amount more we can do.
So I did want to say one more thing. That yeah, it definitely is, like, if they do it, it's definitely going to be Horus Heresy. Like, it says that. You know what I mean?
In the preview picture of the Legion, like the battle at Titans and Legions.
Yes, it did. So I think I think it's pretty much confirmed that they're going to do it. That's how I feel. I'm with you. It all points there. And we've been saying they're going to do it for years, right? They have the planes. They have the Titans. They have, you know, all they have to do is a sprue of a couple different types of tanks and infantry.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what Epic bring to the Heresy. I'm worried at the same time. The Epic community as it exists out there, there is a pretty big Epic community, has been not welcoming to the idea of it just being a Heresy level of the game, and that's what it looks like it's going to be.
Well, there was a lot of that with Adeptus Titanicus too. You had a lot of people going, I'm all excited, I can't play orcs, well, I don't care, and I'm going to start now bashing this as orcs for my thing, and I'm going to just bash this because I can't play orcs or Eldar or whatever.
The endless, I'm going to get into this when they introduce orc.
Okay, see you then.
See if, yeah, it's, I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, I don't know. That sort of stuff could kill games.
I don't disagree, but it didn't kill Adeptus Titanicus.
No, but that's because Adeptus Titanicus is a fantastic game.
Well, we can only hope that Epic is a fantastic game. And if it's not a fantastic game, then it deserves to die.
Yeah, at which point I'm just going to carry on playing Titanicus.
We already have a fantastic game, so we're not going to lose much if it fails.
It's not like they're actually supporting it by much. So, I mean, we'll talk about Epic in the... I think right now we probably should talk about some other New Order releases, namely the stuff from Titanicus. Let's start with... I've got some thoughts before I get going. AJ, do you have any input?
The Warhound and the Warlord version of this one seem a little bit odd. in the fact that the Warhound is you're having to use it with heat every single time you activate it, and the Warlord is overpointed for the strength it is, just appearance-wise, like just gut reaction. Like, there's been some talk with me and some others in the community, and that's kind of the thinking. The only one that really stands out to me is like, oh, I'll definitely get a few of these to try, would be the Reaver Carapace version of it, just because it seemed like that'd be the place for me to experiment with.
So the asterisk means that these only apply for when you're shooting it at long range, right?
Yes. Well, for the Warhound, yes.
So it's not draining at short range.
No. Well, okay, here's the thing, because this is where the problem starts. Looking at the cards, it's strength 9, both at short and long range. But it's like strength 11 if you drain, push for draining.
See, I don't think, that's not how I read it, but I think we're missing a little bit of context. I think we're missing what the asterisk really means. Because what I think is that short range is 2 dice at strength 9, no draining, and long range is 2 dice at strength 11 with draining. Because the asterisk is also on the long range band. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that those three things go together.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
That's how it looks to me.
I missed the asterisk.
And that also kind of goes with how conversion beamers work in every other game.
Oh, that makes this weapon even worse.
See, I don't agree, because 20-inch, 2-shot, strength 9 gun on your Warhound.
Use a plasma blast gun.
It's not as good as a plasma blast gun in most scenarios, because
I mean, it is 5 points cheaper than a plasma blast gun.
Well, and it's 2 shots with no blast.
Yeah.
So I could see pairing it with the plasma blast gun.
Plus one ballistic skill effect for the plasma blast gun is -1, so it's gonna do.
Exactly. And 20 inches is pretty far compared to the blast gun. That's almost the blast gun's whole range.
Oh, it's the same range as the Vulcan Megabolt as long range.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't think the Warhound one sucks. I don't think it's the best weapon ever. Like, oh my god, the sky is falling. But I think there's a place for it.
I think there's a place for it. I see a lot of people wanting to use it as a 40-inch range weapon, and it's not going to be able to do that on the Warhound.
Better than a turbo laser. I think it's 2 shots at strength 9, and the turbo laser's 2 shots at strength 8. And I know the turbo laser has the draining with the shield bane, but you're not wanting to drain on the Warhound, but you can if you absolutely have to on this.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's good, especially for the points cost. I think it's good. I think you're right. I think it is even better on the Reaver because of the Reaver's longer track.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's almost the Reaver's a really good one. I mean, I love my Reaver with all volcano cannons. I mean, I know that's now going to be 3 draining weapons on a Reaver, but you can cope with 1 round of shooting with 3 draining weapons, and then you just have to dive it behind cover and emergency repairs.
Right, right. I ran double volcano Reavers as well, and I do like it.
So I think that Rifleman plus that is going to, it will take apart enemy Titans. If your shields go down and he's got a bead on you, it's like, yeah, that's one dead Titan.
Right. And then if you have to spend the next turn repairing, then you can.
Yeah, because you're sitting out at, 40 plus inches away. No one's going to get back to you.
And there's also the, you can, maybe mitigate the draining with Legio traits. Like, my Legio has a trait to mitigate draining. So, just a thought.
The other thing is that Reaver Carapace, being a Carapace weapon at 25 points, it's the same cost as a few of the other Carapace weapons. Like, it's only 5 points more than the Civilized Destructor. So,
and it's much better.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
But what it also is really good for is if you possess Titan, you take the one that allows you to switch your Carapace weapon. Like, starting off with that one and then taking the order to switch it to something else.
Yeah, because as you get closer, you can switch it to something that's more effective up close. That's good.
Or a Gatling. So you start with that the first turn, you push the draining, you blow someone up with it, and then next turn, now it's Vulcan Megabolter. Like, yeah.
So what do we not like about the Warlord one? It's just too expensive?
For what it is, yeah.
How many points more is it than a Sun Fury?
Sun Fury cost comes in at 45 points, so you're looking at 50.
Okay, it is a significant number more, but I think this paired with Quake is very good on a long range Warlord. I think that build is boring, don't get me wrong, but it's probably not bad.
Yeah, the problem I've got with it is we're tripping with against the Quake. Like, if you're running it with a Quake, you're gonna be forced to do the draining. Now I get it's draining a maximal fire, so you're gonna be able to push that strength through the roof. Like
14. Higher than anything else.
Yeah, or you can get yourself that strength 12 at 25 inches. Like, it's gonna be strength 12.
Also, you can you could get, you know, experimental weapon can push this to strength 16, and then you crit everything in the game basically almost automatically. I think it's pretty solid.
The problem is the two dice, because your Sun Fury is four dice. Your Moray Quake Cannon, although only one dice, is still a blast. So it basically.
But the two dice can be a boon when you have to target shot.
Yeah, but your Sun Fury is still 24 and you got four dice.
But the Sun Fury's long range is 1 inch shorter than this is short range. So you have to put yourself up there. I'm just saying that I don't think this is like garbage, useless.
I don't know. I would be a lot happier with it if it was sub 50 points. So no, I mean, at 60 points, it is the most expensive warlord primary weapon. And 55 points is the Bellicosa, and the Bellicosa is still a better gun.
Yeah, that's my feeling, too. Now, I still want to try these just to give them.
I like having the two shots. I realize that a hit on the Bellicosa is also two shots. I don't know. I don't disagree with you that the Bellicosa is probably just flat better.
Like, if it was three shots with this point cost, I could be all about it. Because at that point, I could be like, okay, I'm going to do a targeted attack. The three shots, you're basically guaranteed a hit with a targeted. Well, not guaranteed, but you got
much better off.
You're hitting on a five. You're hitting on a five plus. So three dice at a five plus. The odds you're going to get was. Whereas two shots on a five plus, that's not guaranteed. And suddenly it's like, okay, now my 60 point gun hasn't hit.
Yeah.
The Bellicosa, like, you know, oh, I missed with my Bellicosa. Gonna scatter and hit something. So, I don't know. No, overall, too bad. So I think next up on the book for Titanicus, let's talk about the releases. We've got, in addition to the weapons, we've got the new book that's coming out that hopefully we will do a bit of a review on in the next episode. Did any of you guys actually pick up the new book?
I've got it.
How is it?
About what we expected. If you've already got the books, you won't need it. The only big reason to pick up the Crusade rules. Other than that, like, it's nice to have and look at on the shelf, but I've already got everything else. It was kind of a waste of money for me.
Yeah, I didn't pick it up because I used that money to pay for my tickets to Midwest Conquest. So
priorities.
Yes. We'll talk about it a bit more next week. I know Brandon over the Legion cast picked one up and he used about it, but he's a latecomer to Titanicus.
Oh, it is absolutely fantastic for those folks that like missed a book or just got in late, like you're saying. It is perfect for them because it has everything in it. So like that compared with a trader or a loyalist book, like that's all you need to play the game.
Now, I think on a more exciting note is the new cards. The pre-order on Saturday, which is the 6th of May. I own all the cards. Obviously, I'm not buying them. But the Knight deck of cards is really good for anyone wanting to play Knight Household at any time. There are cards in there that have rules that are not reproduced in any book. Some of which are really good rules. I know my...
As dumb as that is, it is good that they're at least reprinting.
Yeah. And the Open War deck is still... Like, the Match Play Guide's fun, but the Open War deck is still, I think, almost my preferred way of playing Titanic.
It adds a certain flavor to it.
The luster is coming off the Open War deck, the Match Play book. The sitting here and both of us having to pick an objective just adds that extra complication to starting the game. Just drawing some cards gets the game going quicker. And if I'm not caring about the game, if I'm not, like, you know, playing super seriously, I'm just trying to steer and pretzel it.
And the benefit of the cards is you can just have them on the table so the players can look at them at any time they want to know what we're doing.
Yeah. I think it's still my preferred way of playing. Having now done an extensive amount of stuff with the Match Play Guide. The other stratagem cards, I'm pretty sure AJ will agree with me. I don't think they're worth it. Because as far as I'm aware, there are still going to be, even if you own every stratagem card deck they put out, there's still like 40 stratagems that never made it into cards. So inevitably, you're going to be wanting a stratagem that you don't have a card for anyway. So like, as soon as you've got one you don't have a card for, having any other cards starts to be...
It winds up being easier just to have like little homemade index cards that you put those stuff you want on for your card deck.
Yeah. I agree. I'll tell you what I did is, you know, a lot of us bought, you know, box set at the beginning. We basically had those more, you know, extras of the original cards, you know, the first ones they came out with. And so I had, what I did with those was I actually created a sticker that I put onto those cards that has the text from the cards that they never made. Nice. So I have that, and then I can actually make multiples of the cards that you can take multiples of.
I like that. I wish they had the advantage of taking, like, I could get them all, because I really want to play a games weekend where you don't get to pick stratagems, you just deal them from a hand at the start of the game.
That'd be cool.
I feel there's just some terror involved in that that's going to release some horrible combinations. That'd be fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
But we'd need them all in card form, and that just takes a bit of time.
I know I'm going to pick up a second open war deck, just as with the mileage I'm getting out of, you know, I'm going to need to replace them.
Yeah, I was considering it, but I'm going to hold off.
Do we want to talk about the Titanic next weekend?
Yeah, I mean, people will be hearing this the day before. If you're in the Dallas area, this is a reminder that tomorrow there is a Titanic event taking place at Texas Toy Soldier.
Correct.
So if you listen to this on May 5th, and the first few hours it goes up, it's the reminder that tomorrow morning there's the event. I think we're looking at a pretty full event. It's going to be a blast. Brandon's been working pretty hard on it, by all accounts. I'm going to be showing up with my Legio Vulcanum. I think everyone else on the podcast is planning on being there, right?
I am. The Flame Blades need to come out and wreak havoc.
Onyx will be there with claws.
Yeah, this will be a good day. Good bunch of guys hanging around playing some Titanicus. I'm looking forward to it. I've got 4 tables of terrain I'm bringing down with me. I went through all of my scenery in the last few days, making sure it was all still together. It's going to be a nice break from the end of school chaos.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you guys.
Okay, I think that brings us to the end of new releases. We're only an hour into the podcast. I do want to touch on the one big thing that was dropped while we were gone, which is Militia. Wow, is all I really can say about the PDF release there. I don't think I've come across a set of rules that is so expansive and open for creativity in recent memory from Games Workshop. It really is a flashback to some really good Forge World stuff back in the day, and I'm really impressed.
I have to say the only thing I'm not a huge fan of is how hard they've crushed on them with the whole paper-thin armor and cowardly lion thing. You know, the fact that they are going to break at the drop of a hat and get destroyed by looking at them funny and causing morale checks, and everything's a penetrating hit. I mean, I think that went a little bit, I mean, I understand exactly what they were doing with that, but I think they went a little too far. But as far as what you can do with the list, it is amazing. And I just love where they've gone with everything else about the list.
Yeah, so as far as the third line vehicle rule, I'm going to be really interested to see what happens when I put my tanks on the table. I think AV-14 is still going to be AV-14, and it's still going to take a bit to get rid of them.
It's not going to be as bad as people are making it out to be, because honestly, the stuff that was going to penetrate it anyway, and the stuff that you're really concerned about with, you know, AP-1 or 2 was typically going to penetrate most things anyway. So giving it one more die roll chance for penetrate, because remember, glance is only on the armor value it specifically. So it's only one additional pip of chance for penetration. But for some things, that means auto-penetrating, so, you know, great. But then, again, the things that you're really concerned about, blowing up your vehicles because it got a penetration instead of a glance, those things were generally going to have, most of the time, at least a 75% chance to penetrate anyway, maybe a 50% chance. It goes up a bit, but, I mean, by the same token, in theory, they're going to be cheaper, so you've got an entire extra tank after they blow that one up.
Yeah, and I'm not overly worried about the leadership. I played Renegades and Heretics in 7th edition, and, like, I had units that were leadership too, and, like, it doesn't matter. Like,
well, it's the fact that they're just so much easier to outright destroy rather than just simply break now.
I don't know. If I get two... If two people hit me, like, if I'm... It's going to play like fantasy. Like, every one of my units is going to have something on the flank. And if I let you charge 2 units into one of my guys, like, I've got to make sure there's someone close to make sure that they don't fail that leadership. Like, yeah. And when it happens, it's going to hurt. But if you've got me in that position anyway, it's going to be a bad game. Like, that unit's dead anyway. So I think it's not terrible.
So here's my real question. Now that the militia rules are out, how many Leagues of Votan squad armies are we now going to see?
Not many.
That when Leagues of Votan came out, that's all I could think was, there's everybody's squad army right there.
I think you'll see 1 or 2, but you're not going to see that many.
Yeah, that's same. I think it takes a real commitment to even play this at all, so I don't think you're really going to see, like, that many of it in general, and I don't think you're going to see that many of that specific thing.
Honestly, I will tell you what, with the Arbites coming out and the militia rules coming out, I'm having to really, really work to convince myself I don't want to build an Arbites militia list.
It's going to be such an expensive project.
It would be, too.
The Arbites are better build making something out of Solar Ox.
Yeah, I've also been looking at using them for Solar Ox because those Arbite models are just so gorgeous.
Because, I mean, I've got a list in the back for adding to my Word Bearers. It's 760 points. It's like far too many models already. And like, I could get this done by Midwest Conquest. Do I want to? Probably not. It'll roll out in Dallas.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. I like the idea of it because, like, you know, for 750 points, I've got 3 Lehman Russes, close to 100 infantry and a commander. And it's like, yeah, hey, I have board presence. Okay, well, I think with that, I want to thank you all for being on here. It was a great time hanging out. And I think we'll try next time, have a chat about Titanicus, and we'll have come back from this wonderful event. And I think Brandon's going to be back here talking about like what he did to make it a fantastic event. With that,
I look forward to seeing y'all next weekend.
I want to thank Lucas, AJ, and Will for coming on to talk about all the new releases from Warhammer Fest. I think I had a great conversation there. I had an absolute blast recording it, as I always do. I do want to say before we go, we are more than happy to take feedback on our shows. I received a fantastic message from Bob, who lives in Northern California, about our last show. He posed some thoughts that we didn't really get to in the show about the difference between narrative and competitive, about how they aren't really on the same sort of scale. You can have a very competitive narrative event, and you can have a very casual non-narrative event. Some very good points, and I think it is a conversation piece we will look at further in an upcoming show. If you've got thoughts you want to share with the show, please email me or shoot me a message through Facebook. Either or are great ways of getting in contact with me. As always, I'd like you to rate and review the show wherever you can. It helps spread the reach of the show and helps others find it. But until then, I wish you all well, and I'll see you in 2 weeks. And we're going to spend a bit more time talking about Titans.
Please subscribe to the podcast on your podcatcher of choice, and we will see you in 2 weeks. If you have any questions for the show, please email us at firesofbetrayal@gmail.com or reach out through our social media accounts or at reserve to their respective owners. Until next time, we wish you all good fortune.